award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin, Leno and Woodley.
Ed, Leno and Woodley are finally winding up this whole Leno and Woodley business.
Yeah, well.
Big spectacular final show on Saturday night.
It's going to be huge.
What about a spectacular ending for that final show?
That's what we're going to sizzle up today.
Don't you reckon our listeners would have something in the back pocket?
They would have in the front pocket, the breast pocket, they've got something.
What do you reckon, guys? You willing to throw it open to our listeners?
Absolutely. I think that of all the listeners that listen to radio, that then your guys would be the most inventive and intelligent with their suggestions.
They're looking confused, Ed. Mm. They won't be at the end of this hour. We're going to find out who mentioned our program in Parliament.
Mm.
References to our segments in Hansa.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nude couples feud ends at Waffle House. We'll find out what happened.
We've not done that one before.
No, sir.
All right. It's all coming up over the next hour on Get This.
Very reckless and very careless with very little regard to themselves or anyone else. One would like to think that they'd learn from experience, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, obviously we haven't, because here's the Hooters. Yeah, it's just, and we dance for a couple more minutes. We can lose that. That's the Hooters here at Get This. Me, Tony Martin, that man, Ed Cavalli, Richard Marsden pushes a button or two. Round of fake applause for Leno and Woodley.
Yeah. Hey, I'm contributing with a bit of real applause for us as well.
Huge Hooters fans here.
I know. That was their request.
What were you saying, Frick?
We will only come on the show if you play the Hooters first up.
Yeah. No, okay. I've always felt like the Hooters, they had two songs. They had that song and the other song was All Those Zombies in High Places.
Oh, I like that song.
All those people in the street. And two completely different genres.
That's right.
Don't you feel like they're like...
What is it? Was the zombies like the people that ran the country, man? And all those zombies that didn't know how to run the world? The zombies?
I don't know exactly what the content was about, but just the feel.
Yeah,
they
feel
like they're like... They're kind of like a two... They're like a one-hit wonder band... Twice.
What about moving pictures? Moving Pictures brought out What About Me, which was ballady, and then their second song was Bustin' Loose. Yeah,
you know. Give us a little bit of a rendition of that, Carl.
No.
The same way that, obviously Mr. had broken wings.
Yeah.
How did that go? Broken wings and fly
take.
Away.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You were just about to do it.
Yeah, I know.
Take. Yeah. These broken wings. But then you're going, no more in the tank than Kyrie.
Yeah.
How did Kyrie go?
They're both in the same genre, don't you feel?
Oh, I see.
That's my main issue.
So you're saying,
sing it, Cole.
It's the same. You're saying the Hooters
Frank is absolutely
underrated,
right.
Well,
Frank is absolutely
more versatile
right.
than people give them credit for.
That's my feeling. But, you know, first song, very deep, dark. You know, even almost so creepy. Yeah. Second song, mandolins, bring them out. Let's crack on.
But we don't get the zombie one.
No, I like. I would never have guessed that was the same band.
Yeah, but wasn't it the first time ever in a rock and roll song that is it called a vibraphone?
Oh,
is it the little?
There is a thing called a vibraphone, but I'm not sure if it's the thing you're referring to.
You blow into it and you play the keys.
No, like that's not a vibraphone.
That is a vibraphone.
Is that
no? Vibraphone is like. Like a xylophone sort of thing.
What's that keyboard called then? Because I know the one, like the air-filled keyboard.
Kind of a kiddie toy sort of thing, and I think it was used in that.
It's called a blowing piano.
It's probably enough about the Hooters, I reckon.
Sorry.
Maybe you don't want to dedicate the whole hour to the Hooters.
No, but and then they opened up that chain of restaurants afterwards, was a change of direction.
It was.
That was a completely different genre.
But I know what you mean. We still get, and we dance, don't get the mandolin one. It's like with the Men Without Hats. Still occasionally get the safety dance.
Yeah, love the safety dance.
No sign of, I wish that I was in Scotland. And I'm walking through a forest in the rain. The follow-up single that nobody remembers.
It's too hard to back announce.
Yeah.
That's why.
Mm. Is this because you've been on tour for so long now, Frank, that maybe in the back of the van you and Cole will maybe spend a couple of hours talking about the Hooters? Is that the kind of cabin fever you're getting
end? Well, we do play... On the CD we play is the best of the Hooters, and it's only a two-track CD. So it sort of goes on loop a little bit. It's a little bit like me and Cole were in a TV show called The Comedy Sale in the mid-90s, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And it lasted 3 episodes. Cole has since raised the bar and been in a show that only lasted 2 episodes.
You'll be back, Frank. You'll be back better, bigger and better.
But we're in this show that only lasted 3 episodes. And you know shows like Get Smart and stuff like that, when they originally come out, they're on one night a week and then they're on for years and then they bring them back and they go Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
That. Well, I actually opened up, this is absolutely true, opened up the TV Guide, and the show that we were on, The Comedy Sale, was being shown at 5 in the morning, mind you.
Right.
But at 5 in the morning, it was being shown Monday to Friday, but it only got to Wednesday.
Ouch.
And that's true.
Oh, I remember a few years ago, there was an Australian film called Those Dear Departed.
Oh, yeah. I never even heard of that.
With Gary McDonald and Pamela Stevenson.
Ooh. Right. Mm.
And that came out on a Thursday.
Uh-oh.
And on the opening day, the ad said, hurry, last days. And it was off by the Monday. When you're opening with hurry, last days.
There was the show, what was the show that actually got cut? The TV show that was being launched as The Tonight Show for someone that got cut like only 45 minutes into the show because Kerry Packer
ran. Oh, that was Doug Mulray's.
Doug Mulray's. That's
Australia's naughtiest home video.
That's setting the bar pretty high, isn't it? When you get axed before even the end of your show.
It's got to come back because it was brilliant.
Everyone mentions that. Yeah, gets a mention like once a month on this show.
Yeah.
And we always have to point out the moment that it got ripped off here by Kerry Packer.
Kerry Packer.
Kerry Packer. We can say what we want about him now. He was a Kerry Packer that bloke. It was just as the child reached for the kangaroo's genitals.
It wasn't, Tony. I'm going to challenge
in
you.
In some states, in Victoria, that's when it went off.
Because in New South Wales, where I was, it was in the fields, just a couple of horses going at it, guided by hand, as it were, and the cameraman laughing and shaking.
Yes, and someone called us up and said in Adelaide, it got taken off air just as they had the Afghan
dog joining the end of a conga line, misinterpreting it.
And apparently,
misinterpreting it.
Apparently, in Tasmania, they let it go. They let it go all the way to the goat scene, where the man. Actually, I can't even talk about it.
No, it's still playing though. It's on YouTube.
It's a stage show. It's Tassie now.
Stage show. That's what Colin. And you mentioned an album, didn't you guys? Just win the ARIA Award last week.
We did. And I have to say, I was, you know, people get up and give speeches and they go, you know, I'm genuinely shocked. Mm. Well, I was totally genuinely shocked because I reckon that album's shit.
Oh, there you go.
No, it's all right. But I was surprised that we won an ARIA.
It's very thrilling, yeah.
Did you get any money for winning an ARIA?
They give you a
record voucher.
To book into a hotel and trash it.
Yeah.
Just so you can live the rock and roll dream just one night.
And no, I didn't see you guys. Were you in the broadcast?
No, it was in. It was one. It was the pre-broadcast.
So comedy's now with the Scientific Achievement Award.
Yes, the award that we won was presented in the pre-broadcast ceremony around about the same time as the Wiggles got their award as well.
That's
pretty
good. So I
texted our manager who was there and said, "Did we get any cool points for not being there?" You know, like if Nicole Kidman's not at the Academy Awards, it kind of feels a bit cool because she's making a film in Uzbekistan or something. And she said, "No cool points."
I can't
imagine. Nobody actually even realised that we were gone when we're not there.
Lano and Woodley accumulating cool points.
Yes, it's an oxymoron, isn't it? Well, I'm oxy and Frank's moron.
I settled down.
That's almost a joke.
Frank's got good advice for, you know, if you're going on stage, if you're just starting out in the comedy game. Mm-hmm. What was that Rodney Rood tip you were giving us before?
Well, just when you were introducing us, I wasn't here and I ran in just at the last second. And the reason why I wasn't here was that I was actually evacuating my personal plumbing. I was doing a poo.
You were chopping some kids
off
the ball.
Yeah, and that's why I wasn't here in time. And it just reminded me that apparently Rodney Rood once came on late and he said, "I'm sorry I'm late. You know, it's because I was doing a poo. It's very unprofessional of me, but it's more professional than doing the show with a bog in my jocks."
He then added that.
Standing ovation.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but apparently.
You wouldn't want to do the show with a bog in your jocks, or as Rodney calls it, his
frog sack.
Sorry. Any excuse to play that. Has the show started?
It started brilliantly.
We've got to think of an ending for Lane and Woodley's career.
Easy.
I've got this horrible feeling that, you know, something's going to happen on the last night that is going to ruin ruin the last 20 years, like at the last minute. I don't know what it's going to be.
20 years of goodwill.
Yeah.
It's going to be destroyed.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be like, because we've got this video montage that we play of stuff over the last 20 years. And maybe like we'll accidentally swap the tapes and there will be that tape that I sent into Doug Mulray's show of me having sex with a goat or something. And it'll come up. And,
but
you
that's
know.
A good tape.
Yeah.
Well, that actually, is
as far
good
I think that's unlikely because as far as I know, no such film exists.
but that could be one possible ending.
Yeah. Something's going to go horribly wrong.
Is Axel Whitehead invited to the closing night?
He's yes. right.
He's yes. good for an ending.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to flash.
I'm so out of touch. I don't even know who he is.
He's the
is?
Guy who flashed his penis at the Aria.
Oh, testicles. Yes. Yeah. Flashed his testicles.
We're not going to be doing. Oh, it was his testicles, was it? It was yeah. his. Can we have Rodney Rood's? It was his. Sorry, put the pressure on Richard.
Come on, Marsland.
You got to give it.
Got to, you know. I
thought he flashed his penis. Oh, he actually flashed his
frog sack.
The show is underway. More in a moment. I'll get this. Ah, yes, that'd be the Chili Peppers here. Get this around the nation with Leno and Woodley. And Leno and Woodley came in on our first or maybe our second week.
Second week.
Have you noticed, are we more up ourselves, do you think, guys, now?
Well, I've noticed you're not wearing any skivvies anymore, and I suggest that that's because you can't get them over your enormous head.
No, it's we're not wearing our skivvies in sympathy with Greg from The Wiggles. What is going on?
No, poor thing.
Is Greg the tall guy?
He's the yellow one.
He's not well. He's not well, and we wish him well.
We wish him all the very best.
Mm. Because I don't like to see a false, pretend Wiggle filling in for someone else.
Is it good or bad? Bad that if he is replaced in the show, the audience doesn't know, stroke doesn't care. Is that a good thing or a kind of
how many members do you need before stand-ins are inappropriate? Do you know what I mean? Like, imagine if you came along to see Leno and Woodley tonight at the Regent, and it's you know, tonight the part of Frank Woodley will be being played by
Peter Luck,
Ray Maher.
You know, he fills Peter in Luck. Over summer.
You know, you might just about get away with that, but you go to see Billy Connolly tonight. The part of Billy Connolly will be played by, you know,
by Pamela Stevenson. Pamela Stevenson, who got mentioned just a moment
ago. Amazing.
In the most obscure possible context.
Yeah.
We're talking about a film that came out in 1987.
Yeah.
We get off air and she's looking at us through the glass. She's in the next studio. Actually, she hasn't spotted us. She wouldn't know who we are.
No.
Wouldn't know who we are.
But that's weird, your powers to manifest people. Maybe we should start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and see if he descends.
He's booked on the cage. He does a duet with the Scaredies.
He does.
Stump the Messiah, it's called. Sorry. But it did happen once before.
It did.
We had Bert Newton on the show. And we'd written a Daryl Summers joke for him to do.
Right.
And Daryl Summers had been on the cage and wouldn't go away and was just looking at us through the glass.
Wouldn't go away.
And we kept delaying the Daryl Summers joke. We're going, and Bert's going, well, when am I doing this joke? No, we'll do that later. Play more Hooters.
Oh, I can see him, Daryl, like peering in through the window like a spectre from some sort of, you know, when dead children, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, horror films that involve dead children.
Daryl wasn't in that.
But I can just see him at the window, just looking through with a vacant kind of
Haley Joel Osment going, I can see Daryl Summers. But we were so cowardly, we wouldn't do the Daryl joke till he'd left the building.
That's polite, I think. Pathetic. Not cowardly, I think.
What I find most interesting about that story is your impression of Bert. Can we just give it
it's
another?
It's pretty good.
Have
it's
another serve good. Of it, please, Tony.
What would he say?
When are we going to do that joke?
It was that like, I'd love to do that joke. That'd be lovely. No, I don't. It's just a generic.
Not, it's better than
maybe I should have just let it go.
Just leave it. What about the Aria Award? You've won the Aria. Do you get two?
Yeah, we got two. Yes.
I didn't think they'd send them yet. Oh, we got two and you've got both of them.
Yeah, I got both of them. Yeah, I got both of them. I've got two Perriers, two Arias and two Helpmans. We got a helpman this year.
What's that helpman? For?
That's for services to fruit. I don't know. It's for best comic performance on a stage.
Oh, yeah.
And the Robert Helpman Awards.
Any cash involved in that one?
No cash.
Named after the
Prestige.
Prestige.
Oh. Woo!
After Prestige. Party.
Woo!
Spring rolls.
Really?
As many as you can eat, but no cash.
Cash for the Perrier?
Cash for the Perrier, yeah, Cash for the Perrier. That's
gone
now.
Cash for the Perrier.
I got Cash for the Perrier, yeah.
Did they send us an award?
They sent us an award. They gave it to us on the night. Did you get an invite to the night of the party?
They had a party?
They had a party.
Were you in the show?
Actually, they did have a Perrier party, and nobody knew who the hell we were when we won the Perrier. So... two of our friends, actually Steve Kearney from Lost Terrace Ring Barkers, you know Steve Kearney,
yes,
and his friend who was doing a show in Edinburgh at the time, they got into the party because they said that they were Lane on Woodley.
And then when we arrived to the award, we couldn't even get in.
We couldn't get in because they'd said, no, you idiots, Lane on Woodley, you're already here.
You should have said you were Lost Terrace Ring Barkers.
Yes, we should have, and then they would have... instantly said that you can't come in. I don't know.
There was a Robert Helpman Award for comedy. Is that because of his...
No, it's a the Helpmans,
right,
are for...
They're like our version of the Tonys.
Yeah, that's right. But there was a big gala evening in Sydney a few weeks ago, and we won one.
Robert Helpman.
We felt a little bit John Wood this year, quite frankly.
Yes.
Lan and Woodley are nearly out of our heads. Let's just give them all the awards that... could have, should have, but they're going, so let's give them the awards.
So we're a little bit embarrassed about accepting that award, and we're also a little bit embarrassed about the fact that we had to bring up the fact that we won the award rather than you guys.
Sorry about
that.
Sorry. No, but he said
there was an agreement.
You won an ARIA, and that kind of launched us on to the...
Any awards that you missed out on that you really wanted? A Logie?
Oh. A Logie would have been nice.
Logie to me sounds like something that comes out of your face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's two things.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have won one of those. Looking at Cole, you can tell why we're splitting up after 20 years because the look on your face was pretty much just going, didn't enjoy him then.
It's who's keeping. So you don't want, Frank, you wouldn't want the ARIA at your house. It's so pointy and dangerous.
Exactly.
Well, apparently, yes, after...
How many you got, Tone?
Well, Mick Molloy has all our ARIAs.
Mm-hmm. You didn't get one each?
No, we just got one to share.
Oh.
And I just said, you have them at your house because I am so clumsy. I will fall on that. And if that happens, that's all you'd be remembered for? Mm. You know, the guy who got skewered on his own accolade? They're so dangerous.
Because, they are dangerous. Apparently, when you win them, you get them in your hand and then as soon as you come off stage, they take them off you because of an ugly incident at the after party about 5 years ago.
Because
they're very, very pointy and
dangerous.
You're
not allowed to run with them.
And heavy.
But it was funny because when we flew back, we were allowed to take them on the plane. So apparently, Al-Qaeda at the moment are desperately trying to bring out a fantastic album.
All right. Look, the biggest accolade, as you know, is to be mentioned in Parliament in Hansard. Have you had that happen yet, Lane Owen Woodley?
No, not that we know of.
Pauline Hansard.
Pauline Hansard. That's
no.
The racist edition. The sealed edition of Hansard. What we've done is we've challenged parliamentarians to mention our show or catchphrases or even obscure references to this program
okay.
in Parliament.
Obscure references. Okay, now I'm starting to get the picture.
Because they'll get into Hansard and they'll be on the record for all time.
Right.
Have you seen any of this happening yet?
No, I know that you did it and I know that you got a lot of members involved.
I don't
know what the results were.
Order in the House the other night.
Did you?
I love to tape Order in the House.
It's so good, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a great show.
When will they bring them out on DVD with a special cabinet?
That's
yes.
a good
that
idea.
You can keep them all in.
Box set.
Shaped like Parliament House.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
So what we did is now this is a very poor recording. You really have to concentrate, but I'm pretty sure bits of this show are being mentioned in Parliament. Have a listen.
If I didn't say it, I'll say it now, Mr. Speaker, and I think it's very important, though, that as in all of these things, we don't sort of zealously embrace a particular report or a particular piece of analysis.
The member for Grain has asked his question.
Let me simply say to the member for Grainler,
Nick Kershaw,
exactly. And
order.
The first and most important thing you do when you respond to something is you don't close your mind to one important options, Mr. Speaker,
and the important the member for Ballarat is warned.
Nor, Mr. Speaker, do I believe that it does not comprehensively embrace all of the world's major emitters.
Order, the member
and
for Denison.
You cannot have an effective response to global warming. We would, Mr. Speaker, we would.
The member for Denison is warned.
We would be assuming obligations,
order. The Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Mr. Speaker, the answer is that I do broadly remember
the
girls.
Order, the Prime Minister has the call.
It doesn't in any way alter the substance of this debate. Sure, Australia
signed the deputy leader of the opposition.
The original Kyoto Protocol, but we never ratified it. And the reason we never ratified it.
The member for Lilley has warned.
This inane mantra of the Labor Party at the present time.
Order, the Speaker, deputy leader of the opposition is warned. Well, the member for Lawler.
The reason, if we are interested,
the member for Brisbane is warned.
Reducing climate change, Mr. Speaker.
The member for Fowler is warned.
Mr. Speaker.
The member for Sydney, the deputy leader of the opposition.
Let me say,
the member for Lilley.
It's through you, Mr. Speaker.
The member for Melbourne will come to order.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes. Very out of touch.
So well done, everyone who contributed there. I didn't know Rodney Rood was the member for Lilley. How did they smuggle all of Toto?
I don't know.
Into the press gallery.
Amazing, those guys.
We still haven't thought of a grand finale to Lana and Woodley's career. I think we're going to do that next.
Get this. The aim is to create water cooler talk. The more ludicrous, more titillating, the better.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.
It's Get This. It's Around the Nation on Triple M or KOFM in Newcastle. Lano and Woodley are with us in the countdown to the final ever Lano and Woodley stage performance this Saturday night in Melbourne.
Speaking of comedy releases and arias and that kind of stuff, we've got a DVD out. It's called The Goodbye. It's called Goodbye.
And it's of the final show?
It's of the final show, but not of the final show this Saturday, because that would be weird, kind of intergalactic kind of time weirdness.
Yeah, just a blank DVD.
That would be just a blank DVD that you have to... It's like it's an invitation to film the show and load it onto your computer and burn a DVD. Right. But no, we filmed the show in April, May in Melbourne, and it's taken 6 months to get it together, and now it's out.
And
now,
has it changed very much over that time?
The DVD has got funnier, since it was filmed in April, May, yes. But it is a little bit annoying. I don't know whether we should tell people, but the show that we filmed in April, May, because we've done the show like 150 times since then,
yes,
the show that we do or are doing this week has got quite a bit few more jokes in it.
So what you're saying is, even if someone came along and took a pirate copy of it, it'd still be better than the ones in the shops.
We went into and we've just dubbed in on top of, like, you see my mouth moving, saying one. Well, it seems to be saying something else, but then you just hear me go, but I didn't even want the banana, and then we just put in massive canned laughter to represent the joke that we're getting now. So.
Is there a commentary? Is there extras on the DVD of Goodbye?
Yes, there's an audio commentary of us. I don't know. I mean, you've probably done audio commentaries, but you don't actually talk about what you're watching. You just kind of waffle on about, bananas or the Hooters. It's not really... But there is an audio commentary, and there's like comedy festival gala spots that we've done over the years, and like a picture gallery of old kind of found object photos right up till today, and a little mini doco of our touring this year.
Oh, yes.
And that kind of stuff. So there's lots of extras there.
Three DVDs you need. There's that one. There's The Island on DVD. Mm.
Yes.
And then there's the original Lano and Woodley series.
The Adventures of Lano and Woodley. You can get that on DVD.
That's so good. That, I love the all good eps, but the one at the swimming pool is my favourite, I think.
My favourite part of the swimming pool episode is there's a scene in it where Colin water skis down the pool in a penguin costume. Although that's very
entertaining. It's a knockout style.
not dissimilar. And it gets more in that vein, because what you don't actually see on the show is that after he let go of the rope that was pulling him down the pool, of course, he's in like a pear-shaped inflated outfit. And you can imagine if you were floating around in that, pretty much your bum floats to the surface and your head goes under the water.
Right.
And we're all in the background like going, that worked really well. We got the shot. Fantastic. And Cole's over in the pool drowning, which was...
He's not smiling at the moment, I noticed, right?
No, it wasn't pleasant memories.
And then the next highlight was when we realised that he was drowning, somebody dived in and kind of lifted his head up out of the water and pushed him to the side of the pool. But then nobody helped him get out of the pool.
and he's
in this massive inflated suit trying to get out of the pool. And that was very entertaining for us all as well.
It's all part of the bias at the ABC, obviously. Glad you guys were purged.
Actually, I'm really excited. No, I'm so excited because I've been very worried about what I'm going to do in the future now that Lano and Woodley have split up. And I just got a call today that they want me to be involved in The Glass House. So it's going to be all right.
That'll be great.
Best of luck.
Yeah, that's going to be fine.
Hey, Hey, Toto's got a MySpace site.
Toto the band?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Toto's got their own MySpace site. Looked after by themselves, obviously, Tone. I've just thought of something. Look, they're playing a lot. We were saying off air that they don't play live.
They apparently they were just a studio band, and they threw out all their hits. They never played a live concert.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
And now they've decided to that people need them badly, and they're on a world tour. Not coming to Australia, but they're going all through Europe and, you know, et cetera, and America and all and that kind of stuff. But they've got, you know, you've got friends on MySpace. Toto has 2,224 friends.
Oh, can I guess REO Speedwagon?
they're on the front page.
Journey?
Right? Journey is there.
Sticks?
They're all there.
Asia?
They're all there, individually and as bands.
Also, on your MySpace website, you put photos of your friends.
Your friends put up their photo on yours. That's how you know that they're friends with you.
Oh, they put themselves on. I've got to get my photo on that.
You've
website,
got,
Toto. Absolutely. I've always felt.
Well, you know, everyone else has. Asia's there. Sticks is there. Where's Woodley?
Have you got your own MySpace?
I've got, I set one up the other day. It's got nothing
on
it. I don't know how to put pictures on it or words or anything, so it's just my name.
You might be best going for like an acquaintances section.
Yeah. Do you think so?
Yeah, you might get a bit more involvement.
Who's that guy section? So I've got 16 friends.
Well done.
Tone, I'm going to set one up for Get This, and we've got to try and get more friends than Toto.
Yes.
Because if Toto's got more friends than us in the world...
The race is on.
The things aren't looking good.
Okay, I reckon some tunes might be the way to...
Yeah, I've got a Toto remix that I've done. Yeah.
Let's
it's amazing.
Hear it.
2, 3, 4.
Is that Toto?
Yeah. Mm.
It's Toto-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be... We don't need the whistling, thank you. Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield. Here at Get This Around the Nation, let's go straight up the mountain, Richard. Lano and Woodley are here. Guys, when you were here last, I don't think Richard Marsden was panelling the show. It might have still been the beer.
No, I don't think so. It lacked something.
Yeah.
It lacked a little bit of something, and now that Richard's here, it's a whole lot better.
Strange. You can use your microphone if you want, Richard.
I know, but the microphone's all the way over from the buttons.
Yeah.
So if you guys call for anything...
Yeah,
it's like a marathon.
Let's just say that my breast accidentally fell out.
Oh,
see,
take it. So you can't do it because he's using Woodley's microphone.
I'm back in. Luckily, they're back in. Oh, they've gone again.
Oh. Wow, now we're a proper radio show again.
Let's play Hooters again.
We do want to talk about. Don't say that.
Don't say it, man.
It will come. Were you guys at the Melbourne Cup when yesterday? Did you do that?
No.
Not enough people dressed as Austin Powers at the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, I saw that on the news. I love that. gaggle of people as Austin Powers.
I wrote a poem, though. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
I'd love to hear it.
His parents said that he could do anything if he just put his mind to it. They said, son, you've got to believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you can do it. But his parents were, hang on. So he put his heart and soul, he set it on riding the Melbourne Cup. We know he knew that'd be his fate. But his parents were unrealistic dickheads and he was 6'8".
We don't often have poetry on the show.
6'8". So his legs reached the ground while he was sitting on the back of the horse so he could help it run.
Well, no.
That'd
because
be
there's another verse. Do you want to hear that? He came up with the only plan that would get him down to correct weight. Both his arms and both his legs he decided to amputate. So the crowd on that November day, they went wild. A huge applause went up as he gripped the reins between his teeth and a bouncing torso rode the winner of the cup.
Beautiful.
That all worked out okay.
Yeah, it did.
It's a beautiful story, really.
Beautiful story. How'd he get on the horse?
Well, that's the third verse. And then when he was... No, there's no third verse.
We've hardly tackled big news today.
Yeah.
And let me just grab the story that Colin tried to screw up and destroy.
Yeah,
let's see what story he chose at random from the pile. Michael Jackson. Oh, we haven't had a good Michael Jackson story.
No, there hasn't been one, some might say.
In the history of the show, we've never even mentioned him.
Because never mentioned Michael Jackson?
Because the bar is so high for wacky Michael Jackson stories.
How can you make it any... Yeah.
He's living in Ireland while he plots his music comeback. He's planning... He's trying to rehabilitate his image. Is this a good way to go?
What have we got?
He's planning to open a theme park called Leprechaun Land.
Oh, no.
And
I'd go to Leprechaun Land.
Yeah.
What kind of rides would there be? They'd be tiny.
Michael Jackson would be the ride.
There wouldn't be any... there wouldn't be any of that kind of, you know, you must be higher than this level to get on the ride. Yeah, it would be you have to be lower for the first time.
You have to be lower
than this line to get on this ride.
To be Michael's new husband. Says here he's making a bid on eBay to buy a genuine Irish ghost trapped in a bottle. So he's back to normal.
That's because he better be careful. Because once I actually bought like a non-genuine Irish ghost in a bottle. It was actually a Turkish ghost. And I was so disappointed.
Was it the trick in the book? Was it the accent that got you? The accent wasn't quite.
A substandard poltergeist.
Yeah.
So it's trapped in a bottle.
That seems cruel.
How do you lure it into the bottle?
There should be a law against that. Shouldn't they're selling people trapped in bottles for all eternity? There's all this hullabaloo about stem cells and everything. But what about all the ghosts who are trapped in bottles and nobody's freeing them?
They should have a conscience vote.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Okay. Leprechaun land.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be the end of a rainbow. Obviously, there'll be a slippery dip that's a rainbow that goes into a pot of gold. Well, you don't want kids landing in a pot of gold.
So there will be a pot of gold by the bottom there.
Yeah, but it'll be like sitting.
You won't land in it.
There'll be gold balls and it'll be fun.
Gold balls.
Obviously.
Yeah, it'll be
gold balls.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know what you're saying. I'm just saying what you're saying.
You know how normally you go down the slide at a kiddie park, you go down the slide and you land in the balls? Well, there will be gold balls representing the pot of gold, clearly.
Thank you very much.
Oh, sure.
But what else?
Sorry to be confused.
Yeah, that's right.
What else? The number of angry parents and restraining orders is what I'm guessing.
Sounds like fun.
Look, the only reason why kids are scared of Michael is because he's such a great dancer, you know? Mm. He can really boogie, and so people think he's the boogeyman. That's amazing.
What a joke. Applause. But we need it.
Well, I don't think it deserves a round of applause.
You know, sometimes you hear a comedian and then you try to tell somebody the next day their joke and it doesn't really work. Well, I think we just cut out the middleman. That's all.
Well
cut
done.
To the chase.
It's all boding well for the final Leno and Woodley show.
Yeah.
This Saturday in Melbourne. But, you know, what is the... don't give it away, but obviously there's going to be a spectacular ending.
There is going to be a humongous end and we're planning is in motion now. There's going to be a lot of tears.
100 Franks and 100 coals.
I like it.
River dancing onto stage behind you.
Nice.
In formation at the back.
Yeah. You know, I went to see Riverdance, but I had really bad seats and I could only see the people from like the shoulders up. It was such a disappointing show.
Boring. Yeah.
No, that won't happen at Lane and Woodley's final show.
What about Craig McLaughlin being involved?
Ah, yes.
Sure.
You've heard that rumor?
Lano Woodley McLaughlin. And you guys are doing a bit, and Craig just comes out and, you know.
And he goes flying into a big basket of golden balls.
Instead of Sonia, change it to Mona. Would that rhyme?
That'd be good.
Because last night
I caught...
I didn't mind that Mona song.
Mona, ooh, Mona.
Yeah.
Tell you what I'm going to do, buy a house next door to you.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. Sorry, I'm going out on a limb there.
Buy a house next door to you and just kind of stalk you in a weird kind of way.
Right.
Okay. I didn't know the lyrics.
Did you see the What a Year?
Oh, What a Year the other night.
What a Year was on. It was 2001. And, you know, there's some big events in 2001. You know, September 11 happened on 2001. Yeah, yeah. And they kind of got to that. They did some other stuff first. And they had, like, Subi jeans on for about 5.5 minutes just talking about rats on a catwalk and how amazing it was. And then they've gone to 9/11. Swanky jeans.
Right.
And then they've showed, you know, the footage and all that sort of stuff. And who do you think they got to comment on
September 11th?
Yep.
Craig McLaughlin.
After Craig's given us his thoughts, we've cracked into Ida Buttrose. And then polished it off with Brett Lee. And then that's it. They've thrown their hands up and gone, that's covered.
Right.
Was Katrina Roundtree consulted?
I think so. But she was in a bikini sort of swimming away.
Couldn't get her thoughts.
And is there anything in that for the final Leno and Woodley?
That's what I'm saying. You finish your last bit. Boom, lights down. Boom, lights up. There's Craig giving his thoughts on your 20-year career. Yeah. Then Ida kind of stumbles her way through it.
Okay, over to
Brett Lee.
They're
the experts.
It's low on spectacle, though.
You reckon?
We need Richard Marsland. Step over to the mic. Approach the microphone.
Well, I was thinking either, you know, you could fake your deaths a la Andy Kaufman, something like that.
Yeah.
Like a slow degenerative fatal disease over the course of the evening.
Not very cheery, though.
No.
But good for a comeback because they can always find a cure at the last moment and, you know, we can reunite. Yep.
Or a time machine. You hop into a time machine.
Oh!
at the end of the show and you say, we'll set it for 10 years into the future. Then if you ever want to get back together again in the future, you can step out of the time machine as the opener for the
act. Can we adjust the time of the time machine?
Like, if things get rough.
There's been a malfunction. We're back in 6 months.
We're doing the Comedy Festival next year. Look, due to popular demand.
That's what I was thinking. It's a malleable
time. It's a really good idea, Rich.
That's great.
Tone? How do other shows, I mean, I'm just going with the river dancing. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think, how have other great, you know, final shows gone? Who else has done one of these?
I guess people just kind of wander off, like they kind of wander slowly off into the back of stage and then bow and then the lights come up and they come out and like, oh, me, and they get like, you know, flowers thrown at them and that's it.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty standard.
Well, who else has ever actually, who have we seen that actually has ever finished? You know,
we're going sort of down the path of the flowers getting thrown. Although we got this bulk deal, we couldn't get flowers, so all the audience are being given cacti.
Oh, that'd be nice. Right. That'll be lovely.
I'm just thinking when me and Mick Molloy finished our radio show, we ended with puppetry of the penis, and that really that was wasn't a good.
No, I don't want to be doing any puppetry of the penis because you know how some people have got outie belly buttons and some people have got innie belly buttons. Yes. Well, I've got an innie penis. Oh, so there's not a lot of tricks.
It doesn't work in the theatre.
There's not a lot of tricks.
What about? I know how you can. I mean, the traditional ending.
Richard's apologising for booming me.
That's quite disrespectful. Okay.
I think if I tell a joke about having an innie penis, you can do whatever you want.
All right, look.
Going away.
Maybe you've just got to have a traditional ending, the way most comedy duos end, by dissolving into rancor and hatred. But then you guys kind of do that every night.
Yeah, well, that is the weird thing. We have actually been splitting up on stage every night for the last 20 years.
Right.
So it is a little bit weird that I'm sure at the end of it on Saturday night, I'm going to be kind of going, but this time, really?
It is
quite bizarre, but.
Yes, Frank is going to suck my finger for the very last time Saturday
don't
night.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Because
right?
I say, don't you ever touch me again, and then there's this long kind of thing building up to it. And although I am a little bit kind of, look, Frank makes me a little bit physically ill sometimes, but I do let him suck my finger every night in the show.
It's a sacrifice. He's the kind of guy who. Like, he doesn't even like sitting in a chair if it's still warm the previous person.
Oh, is that right?
So that's a big artistic sacrifice on his part to let me suck his finger.
Colin, what about dogs licking your face?
I don't like dogs.
There you go.
Like dogs.
Cole's not really into things that have, like, a heartbeat, are you?
No, not really. No, no. Frank's got a dog, though.
And
it's a beautiful dog. It's called the People.
Yeah. I called it that because then I get to say, at least once a day, I get to say I'm going to feed the people. Yes. it just makes me feel good.
And I saw the two of them down at the park the other day. And
get your sound effect ready, Richard.
Get your sound effect ready. I saw them down at the park the other day and I think the little fella was a bit sick because after he did a poo, he wiped his bottom on the grass and the dog just sat there watching.
Can we top this for an ending to a great 20-year career?
Let's end on that joke.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call. All of the people that get to air are going to get a copy of Illegal Download.
Yes, that's our new
FM
album.
Is that?
And it's only for people to call the program or in other states, write in and suck up.
Yeah, it's going well. That's going very well. Keep the sob stories coming.
Are we going straight to callers? Is that what you were suggesting?
Well,
a bit dangerous. Certainly not.
Let's play a song because nobody's rung up.
Richard Marsland is miming a guitar, so I think that means we're having music. Call now 1-3-3-5-3. That's Urge Overkill with an old Neil Diamond classic. We want more Neil Diamond on this show, don't we?
Do we what?
Yeah, we certainly do. Lano and Woodley are with us, and I might take this opportunity to point out, thank God you're here. Final episode of the series with Frank Woodley.
Oh, everybody's doing the final.
Okay. With myself.
Yeah, Sean McAuliffe. Luis Zamiro.
Hamish Blake. Yes.
It's a killer.
And my scene, I didn't find this out till about a week later. I'm not meant to say anything.
No.
Get you in trouble, Ed?
No, you don't. Yeah.
Mm, okay. Let's just say something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And I didn't know
my fault.
Okay. Ed's fault.
I saw it. I didn't even notice anything go wrong.
No, it was my fault.
But
my fault.
Shouldn't have mentioned that.
They should change. I know we can't talk about the episode, what we're doing in the one that's coming up. Is that right?
Tonight.
Tonight. But I reckon they should name that show Woulda, Shoulda, Coulda. Because afterwards, you spend the next 2 weeks just going, why didn't I? Like, for example, in the first one I was in, I was a Roman centurion, right?
I remember.
I made jokes about severing a person's scrotum, the barbarians, and pushing it over their enemy's head, right?
Yeah.
Later on, I said a poem and I reincorporated the scrotum reference, right?
Yes.
At no point did I make a pun about the sack of Rome.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
It's that sort of shoddy inattention to detail that has marred Leno and Woodley's career for the last 20 years. That's why it's coming to an end this Saturday night, and that's why we need our listeners to come up with a spectacular ending. Who have we got here?
Hello, Sam.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
We're excellent, sir. How are they going to end this show?
Well, I think Frank should burn the set down.
Oh.
Because in one of the shows he did in the island, he actually almost did.
So that's not a bad idea, actually. We, in fact, applause. Let's. So we burn down the whole Regent Theatre,
that's right.
Killing everybody and what, including ourselves. What you'd be remembered.
But you've done it before, though, as this man say. What happened, sir?
He tried to put a suitcase and he tried to burn it, and the whole suitcase caught on fire, and then it went on the stage.
Oh, you did that for years, didn't you?
out of control.
We have set fire to the the stage at the Last Laugh once as well, accidentally.
Yes,
I remember we were doing a swimming routine, and we had towels, and we also had this little kind of heater up the back, and we threw one of the towels over the heater and the towel caught on fire, and a guy in the front row was being kind of quite polite and going, excuse me, is that meant to be on fire? that would be a good end.
Yeah. Can we go better than that?
I think we can, Craig. How are you?
G'day, how you doing?
Good, mate. How are they going to end this thing?
Well, you know the old movies, they used to have like a cream pie fight.
Right, I
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You could even involve the audience.
I think you're onto something, Craig.
Because if you're going to do a pie fight, it has to top all previous attempts.
I saw an amazing show at the Comedy Festival this year by a group of people called Wild Duck. And when everyone walked in, there were soft toys on your seat.
Right.
And the whole show ended in a soft toy fight between the audience and the performer.
Oh, yeah. So we could go best into the cream pie department. Maybe we could, because you're saying we have to top it, maybe rather than having small cream pies that we throw into the audience, we could have a massive cream pie and just eject the audience from their seats into the cream pie.
That's good.
Right.
Or maybe instead of cream pie, sticks and bottles.
There we go.
That could be fun.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
How are we going to end this show?
Listen, I'm a bit disappointed in you boys. I've been following your career for ages and you've never jumped the shark.
You haven't jumped the shark.
So
that's true.
What I'm thinking...
Yeah.
Is get out, like, you know, send off on a gimmick. I'm thinking chicken suits, spinning bow ties, and shooting someone out of a cannon.
Oh, that's good. Into the mouth of a shark.
Spinning bow ties, I like.
Yeah, let's cut all the other ideas.
So from now on, let's just
have spinning bow ties.
So from now on, it's not called jumping the shark, it's called spinning the ties.
So the curtain goes down, and the curtain comes up, you're just standing there, the bow ties are spinning. Spin for maybe 5-6 minutes.
But the spinning bow ties, I assume you mean the ones with the little lights on them.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm thinking, I say, mother-in-law joke.
Look, like everybody who gets onto this segment, a free copy of Illegal Download.
Yeah, lastly, Aaron, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm really good. How are we going to end this show?
I think one word, jetpacks.
Yes!
Jetpacks!
Yes. Jetpacks!
That's it!
Now, do jetpacks really exist?
How dare you?
They really exist.
Do they? I'm not sure. I think we'd be the first people to ever use them indoors.
In a theatre setting.
But that's the way. Let's go with that.
I saw a show the other day on the International Jetpack Society.
Right.
Yes.
They're still going. Jetpacks are getting better. Some jetpacks can last for up to 3 minutes flying at an altitude of your choice.
Well,
up to three minutes. Crikey Moses.
Because I remember when I went to the show, the Royal Melbourne show, in about probably 1979, they told us that we would all have personal jetpacks by the end of the 80s.
And remember, we're still waiting.
The 1984 Olympics, the height of technology was the jetpack man just flying across the field.
Well, what would this gentleman like to hear? You know, what would you like to see them do in the jetpack, sir?
Aaron?
Maybe jump over a shark? Jump the shark.
In spinning bow ties.
Now we're talking.
Well, let's write all these ideas down. I think we've got plenty to go on with. And time for us to sign off.
It is really quite a sad occasion.
It just got sad just then.
We're sitting around here making jokes about the final Leyland Woodley. It's just hit me that it's actually going to happen.
This Saturday.
It's all over. Leyland Woodley. I mean, we're doing the comedy festival next year.
Yeah, sure.
And then we're coming back every month on the month and talking to you guys next year.
And I think
week.
A season at Bunratty Castle.
Yes,
and,
absolutely. Yeah.
No, that's not true.
That's it on Saturday.
So. Leyland and Woodley have never jumped a shark. Have a look at all their DVDs for
proof.
They rule. Go and have a look at all that gear. Try and bribe your way into the theatre this Saturday if you can.
Just come dressed as an usher with a torch and then you're getting good. For free.
Or just say you're Leyland and Woodley.
See the conflagration and spinning bow tie for yourself.
They're going to be conflagrating our asses off.
And if you want to see a bit more of Frank, he's on Thank God You're Here tonight on Channel 10.
And I'm not.
Huge scenarios.
Cole's in the third series, that's what I've heard.
It's massive sets, things going bang and whoops and stuff.
It's an extra long episode, is it not?
Is it really? Yeah. An hour, 2 hours? Yeah. Extravaganza.
It's huge.
All right. That's huge.
That's going to be good. Not as big as the final Leyland and Woodley this
Tony, thanks
Saturday.
For your support over the years. God bless you.
No, I just can't get enough. That Adventures of Leyland and Woodley, it never goes off, great that series. Show. One of the great TV shows. Our key phrase today, I guess, has to be simply, goodbye, Colin Frank. Or...
frog sack.
You be the judge. We'll be back tomorrow with Charles Firth from The Chaser.
Yes.
And it's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Leno. That's what I'm calling it.
Now it's all out and you know.
I think he's an outstanding addition.